Chapter 6. The Threat.
I can't believe Marge has a sister like that, Summers said.
Neither can I agreed. Even though a lot of strange things had happened that morning, Li Ping and Doc vanishing, a dolphin stealing my bathing suit, the fact that Marge and Molly O'Malley were sisters was the hardest to believe.
All this time we've known Marge, and she never mentioned a sister once, Summers said.
Why would she? I asked. Marge has barely said anything to me except,
"You're in trouble now, Teddy."
Or, Summer did her best Marge impression, scowling,
"I'll get you this time, you little pipsqueak."
I laughed, so she kept going.
"You're a bad egg, Teddy Fitzroy. Sure, our animals are getting killed and stolen, but you put a whoopee cushion on the seat of my car. As far as I'm concerned, you're public enemy number one, and I won't rest until you're behind bars."
Summer's impression was startlingly good and very funny. I was laughing so hard I had to steady myself against the railing of the polar bear exhibit. We were inside the polar pavilion because it was the coldest exhibit at Fun Jungle. Since Li Ping was missing and we'd been kicked off the investigation, we now had the day free at Fun Jungle. It was nasty hot, though. At 10 a.m. it was already 95 degrees, and so humid it felt like we were swaddled in wet towels, so we'd come to the fake Arctic. Other zoos had heavily air-conditioned exhibits for polar bears, but Fun Jungle was the only place that refrigerated the entire building. This allowed guests to see the bears in their natural habitat, or at least a facsimile of it, without glass in between them. The bears had a big, icy area the size of a baseball diamond, surrounded by a moat of frigid water that they loved to swim in, and the guests could watch it all from a pathway that looped the moat. A safety railing canted out a foot beyond the viewing wall to keep anyone from accidentally falling in. On occasion, Fun Jungle even made it snow inside the building, using a specially designed machine that blew ice flakes out of vents in the ceiling. The bears and the guests all enjoyed this, although on several occasions, park security had to stop guests from pelting the polar bears or other people with snowballs. Keeping such a big building so cold made the Polar Pavilion the most expensive exhibit to maintain at Fun Jungle, costing thousands of dollars a month for air conditioning alone. There were also other cold-weather animals in the pavilion. Walruses, leopard seals, crab-eater seals, and beluga whales, all of which could be seen above and below water. And of course, there were penguins. A huge colony of emperors, adelies, gentoos, macaronis, chinstraps, humboldts, and jackasses. Some guests had actually complained about the names of the last ones, but jackass was the official appellation. They were called that because their braying cries sounded somewhat like donkeys. The penguins were still kept behind glass, though. They weren't dangerous, they just smelled terrible. 3 dozen penguins produced a tremendous amount of penguin poop, and the entire exhibit reeked of partially digested fish. Normally, a day as hot as this one would have been far more crowded in the Polar Pavilion, but the crowds were still mobbing the Panda Palace. While news had quickly spread about Li Ping's arrival that morning, lots of guests had missed the update that the panda wasn't on display yet. So now they were pouring into the park and racing straight to the empty panda exhibit. Since that was on the far side of Fun Jungle from the Polar Pavilion, most people hadn't come back our way yet. By afternoon, however, the pavilion would probably be packed wall to wall with people seeking a break from the heat. There were still a few guests around, though, so Summer was taking care to avoid being recognized. She had changed out of her usual pink clothes, tucked her long hair up underneath a Fun Jungle sun hat, and was now wearing sunglasses, even though she was indoors.
"Molly must be way smarter than Marge, right?" Summer asked me. "I mean, she's FBI.
"I guess," I agreed. "She seemed smart.
But not very nice."
"No, especially not to Marge."
"Do you think she might have been right then?"
Summer lowered her voice to make sure no one around us would overhear her.
"About her suspects for stealing Li Ping?"
"I don't know. I guess it could be animal traffickers or someone with a grudge against the Chinese government. But I'm not sure about that animal rights group." I tried to remember the name she'd mentioned. "The Nature Freedom Foundation?"
"Freedom Force," Summer corrected. "Daddy's always complaining about them. They splintered off from the Animal Liberation Front, and they're even more determined to get Fun Jungle shut down. They've been picketing out along the road that leads here, and Daddy thinks they might have also sabotaged some of the construction equipment for the new rides. Really? I asked. It made sense that I might have missed the picketers, as I always came into the park through the rear employee entrance near my house. But I was surprised I hadn't heard about something as big as sabotage. What happened? One of the cranes building the Black Mamba coaster broke down a few weeks ago. The electrical panel or something. No one could figure it out, but Daddy's sure the NFF messed with it. They hate this park. No matter how well we treat the animals, they still act like this is just some giant prison. So, yeah, I could see them taking Li Ping. I shook my head, not liking this idea. When Henry the Hippo was murdered, everyone thought the Animal Liberation Front was behind it, and they were wrong. That doesn't mean the NFF didn't do this. If the NFF is against animals being held captive in zoos, why would they take one captive themselves? For $10 million, that could fund an awful lot of enviro-activism. There are ways to get $10 million that don't involve stealing a panda. Maybe, but this one might work. I stared out at the polar bears thinking about that. There were two bears on display at the moment, pacing around on the ice. Both were enormous. Polar bears are the largest predators on land. Each weighed nearly half a ton and was as big as a rhino when on all fours. "Is your father really going to pay up?" I asked. Summer shrugged. "I don't know. I don't think the FBI wants him to. But he has to get that panda back. It'll be a disaster for the park if he doesn't." I frowned. "I still don't think it's the NFF. Like you said, they mostly picket the park. Even if they sabotaged a crane, that doesn't make them a bunch of commandos. I doubt they'd know how to steal something from a moving truck." Well, it couldn't be animal traffickers either, Summer said. If they're going to sell the panda, why would they leave a ransom note? To make us think it was the NFF, I suggested, or some other animal rights group. And while the FBI is distracted, they deliver Li Ping to their buyer. I'll bet there's plenty of rich people who'd love to have a panda. Maybe, Summer said, though she didn't seem so convinced. I have to go to the bathroom. Wait here for me? All right, I said. Summer headed to the women's room. I returned my attention to the polar bears. They were now sniffing the air, like they were on the hunt. Fun Jungle often pumped scents into the room to keep the bears stimulated. Their sense of smell was far more keen than humans. In the wild, they had been known to detect a carcass from 20 miles away. So Fun Jungle used scents so faint that humans couldn't even detect them, which was good news when the smell being pumped into the room was that of a rotting seal. The guests never knew it was being done. As far as they were concerned, the bears were just putting on a show. One bear inhaled deeply and reared up on its hind legs. It was nearly 10 feet tall like this, taller than almost any other animal on earth. The guests around me gasped in amazement. I sniffed the air myself, trying to pick up on the scent. This time, I thought I caught a hint of something rank, only it smelled more like bad body odor than I expected. Marge O'Malley suddenly leaned against the rail next to me. I fanned my nose in disgust. On a hot day like this, Marge sweated a great deal and could overwhelm even the most powerful deodorant.
"I need to talk to you," she said.
I tried to run, because that was generally a good move whenever Marge came looking for me, but she grabbed my wrist before I could get away.
"I wasn't doing anything," I told her. "I was just standing here."
"I know," she said. "I'm not here to bust you."
"Really?" I asked suspiciously.
"Really."
"Then let go of me." Marge did. She released my wrist and held her hands up, palms open, signaling she meant no harm. Unfortunately, with her arms raised, the stench from her armpits was even worse. Even the polar bear seemed bothered by it. The one on its rear legs dropped down and covered its nose with its paws, as though trying to block Marge's body odor from entering its nostrils.
"What do you want?" I asked.
Marge grimaced, like what she was about to say was going to cause her physical pain.
"I need your help."
The statement was so startling, I thought I hadn't heard her correctly.
"What?"
I need your help, Marge repeated, through gritted teeth this time.
Doing what?
Putting my big shot know-it-all sister in her place.
You mean, like, playing a prank on her?
No, doofus. I want to find this panda before she can, and prove that Molly's not as smart as she thinks she is.
I gave Marge a wary look.
I can't do that. Your sister told me to stay away from the investigation. Because she's afraid of a little competition.
No, because she wants me to stay away, and disobeying her is against the law.
There's no law that says we can't investigate this crime, too.
Actually, I said, I think there is.
Well, then, we'll just have to make sure she doesn't know we're doing it.
I looked around to see if any other guests were eavesdropping on us. Everyone seemed too distracted by the bears, though, and they were keeping their distance to get away from Marge's stench. I said, every time there's been a crime at this park, you've accused me of committing it and ignored all my attempts to find the actual criminal. And now you're asking me to investigate a crime even though the FBI has ordered me not to?
Yes, Marge said, completely ignorant of the irony. You're always trying to prove what a brilliant kid you are, so now I'm giving you the chance to do it.
But I don't want to do it.
Well, you're going to do it anyhow.
No, I'm not. I tried to slip away. Once again, Marge moved faster than I had expected, as though she'd anticipated this. She grabbed my arm and shoved me up against the railing.
You don't understand what it was like being her sister.
There was anger in Marge's voice, though I couldn't tell if it was directed at me or Molly.
She was always so good at everything. School, sports, dating, you name it. She was the valedictorian and the homecoming queen. And she rubbed every last bit of it in my face. My whole life, she's been telling me she's better than I am. And now, as if that wasn't enough, she shows up on my turf, claiming jurisdiction over my case, acting like the panda's disappearance is my fault somehow.
Marge, it is kind of your fault.
It is not.
Marge's shout was so loud, the polar bears lifted their heads, startled. The other tourists turned our way, curious. I lowered my voice so they couldn't hear me.
But you were supposed to be guarding Li Ping in the truck when someone stole her.
I was on the alert every minute of that ride, Marge said defensively. I didn't drop my guard for one moment.
Then how'd someone steal the panda?
If I knew that, I wouldn't be coming to you for help, would I?
Marge backed off a tiny bit, allowing me to pull away from the cold railing.
You were on guard for 18 hours straight? I asked dubiously.
You didn't fall asleep?
Never.
Not even in the middle of the night?
I was drinking coffee the whole time. I'm telling you, whoever took Leaf Spring was no ordinary criminal.
Li Ping, I corrected.
Whatever. Point is, we're going to find these criminals before my sister does, and we're going to make her look like a fool.
If you want to do that, that's fine with me, I said, edging away slowly, but you can't make me do it.
Yes, I can.
How? By accusing me of another crime I didn't commit? You've done that too many times. No one's ever going to believe you.
Who said I was going to accuse you of a crime?
Marge asked. There was a devious glint in her eyes. I suddenly got a feeling like I was a seal in the water with the polar bears. What are you talking about?
Your girlfriend isn't as perfect as everyone thinks.
Summer's not my girlfriend.
Yeah, right. I've been watching you two, Marge told me. You're together every chance you get, hanging out, eating all your meals together, making fun of me.
I swallowed hard, realizing Marge had probably been watching us the whole time we'd been in the polar pavilion, waiting for the chance to get me alone. If so, there was a good chance she'd overheard us imitating her.
Summer wasn't making fun of you. It just so happens I have recovered security footage of Miss Fancy Pants shoplifting at the Fun Jungle Emporium. Multiple times.
My stomach clenched with anxiety. I knew exactly what Marge was talking about, because I'd seen it happen. The Emporium was an enormous store by the entry plaza that sold everything from snacks to T-shirts to athletic equipment. Quite often, when Summer was hungry, she would simply walk inside and take whatever she wanted—candy, popsicles, sodas.
She had always claimed that it wasn't really shoplifting because her father had paid for everything in the first place, and since the clerks all knew her, they never raised a fuss.
"It's not stealing," I said as confidently as I could, hoping I was right. "Not if she's only taking things from her father."
"Doesn't matter," Marge replied. "What's important is it'll look like stealing to everyone else."
"How?"
"Let's say these security tapes happen to end up at some of those websites that post embarrassing videos of celebrities. Footage of a girl as famous as Summer shoplifting would probably get a couple million hits, easy. And those viewers won't realize she's only taking merchandise from her daddy. They'll think she's breaking the law. Suddenly, Summer won't be America's sweetheart anymore. She'll be just another spoiled rich girl with a load of skeletons in her closet."
Marge smiled cruelly as she said this, relishing the thought of it. My jaw was clenched so tight in anger, it was almost hard to speak. "If you do that, JJ will fire you."
"Not if he doesn't find out it was me."
"I'll tell him it was you."
"You'll never be able to prove it. I already have the footage. I can get it to these sites without leaving any trace I did it. All I have to do is drop it in a mailbox. In 2 days, it'll be all over the web, and Summer's reputation will be dirt."
I didn't reply. I didn't know what to say. I knew Marge was probably right about how the world would respond. I was pretty sure that, in my middle school alone, there were plenty of people who would quickly turn on Summer the moment she appeared to have broken the law. Summer had often told me how cautious she was to never do anything embarrassing in public for fear of it being recorded. But it had obviously never occurred to her that she could be so easily undone by her own father's security system.
"If you go to JJ or your parents or anyone else and tell them about this, or do anything else to get me in trouble, then I'll mail the footage," Marge warned.
Then she stepped back, letting go of me and acting nice and friendly, as though she hadn't just threatened my girlfriend.
"But we can avoid all that messiness if you just agree to help me. And I know, deep down inside, Teddy, that you want to find whoever stole that panda as bad as I do. So what do you say? Are we partners?"
Marge was wrong. While I wanted someone to find Li Ping and Doc, I didn't feel that it had to be me. I trusted her sister and the rest of the FBI to do it, and I didn't want to cross them up or get on their bad side. But I also didn't want Summer's reputation ruined, and I was willing to do whatever it took to protect her. There might have been some way to undermine Marge's plan, but I had no idea what it was. Until I came up with something, I was going to have to at least act like I was helping Marge. "What do you need me to do?" I asked. Marge smiled again, extremely pleased with herself.
"Just do what you always do. Stick your nose where it doesn't belong."
She noticed that Summer was on her way back from the bathroom, then said,
"I'll be in touch."
With that, she slipped away, heading off toward the walruses. I shivered as I watched her go, but it had nothing to do with the temperature of the room. In the exhibit, one of the polar bears dove into the water. It swam with surprising grace and speed for a land animal the size of a car. The guests oohed and awed. Summer resumed her place beside me at the railing. "Sorry it took so long. There was only one toilet working, and some gross woman was hogging it forever." She looked down the hall and asked, "Was that Marge?"
"Yes."
"Was she accusing you of stealing Li Ping?"
"No."
"What then? Plotting to murder the polar bears? Fondling penguins? Walrus trafficking?"
"She wanted me to help her investigate Li Ping's disappearance." Summer stopped joking and gaped at me.
"Marge O'Malley asked for your help?"
"Yes. She wants to find Li Ping and Doc before her sister can." Summer's eyes lit up with excitement.
"Sounds like fun. When do we start?"